Now, Chief, we've got all hands outside, Chief. Any further orders, Chief?
Clooney ran his tail reflectively through his long claws. Yes. Bring the abbot's chair out of the place they call Cavern Hole. Have it set up for me on a platform by the gatehouse. I've got some judgments to deliver.
The horde captain swaggered off jauntily. Clooney addressed the picture of Martin upon the tapestry.
Well, warrior mouse, what do you think of your brave red wall defenders now? Ha! Not much, I imagine. I'm going to let you stay up there and witness some drastic changes.
Clooney jabbed a claw at Martin, his voice laden with menace.
No more will you haunt my dreams. A voice inside me spoke as I waited in the woods tonight outside your precious red wall. It said that before sunset this day I would be free of my nightmares forever. What do you think of that?
Martin continued to smile fearlessly down upon Clooney. The warlord cracked his tail, shattering the silence of Great Hall. He seemed driven to great anger by the apparent unconcern of the warrior.
Henceforth, this place shall be known as Hall of the Scourge, he shouted insanely. No more will the abbey be known as Redwall. It shall be called Clooney's Castle. Everything will change.
The warlord went off into a berserk rage, stamping about the hall, slashing and whipping at the shadows with his tail as he invented new titles, screaming them out as the echoes bounced back off the walls at him.
The Great Rodent Wall. The Lake of Drowning. The Field of Dead Mice. Ferret Gate, Stoat Orchard, Weasel Bell.
Outside upon the grass, the woodland captives heard Clooney's crazed laughter ringing from the abbey. They shivered at the thought of their inevitable fate. He was making them wait, drawing out the tension, reveling in their misery, savoring his evil victory. Abbot Mortimer looked up at the sky.
It will soon be dawn, he said sadly.
A rat pushed him heavily to the ground.
Shut your doddering mouth, old one, he snarled nastily.
Jess Squirrel knocked the rat flat with both her feet. She sank her teeth into the bully's back. A pack of rats leaped upon Jess. They dragged her off their screaming companion and beat at her with their spear butts and cutlass handles.
"Leave her alone, you cowards!" Mr. Squirrel shouted as he struggled to hold back Silent Sam. "You're very brave in a gang, but you wouldn't face my Jess if her paws were free, you scum. Not if there were twice as many of you."
Father Abbot struggled to his knees.
"Please, I beg of you, do not fight on my account. They have the advantage. You'll only get hurt."
"Aye, sensible words, Your Honor,"
Kilcony said as he made way for the abbot's chair to be carried through.
Take my tip and sit quiet until the chief comes out. Don't make it harder on yourselves than it's going to be. That's what me old mother always used to say.
Good grief! Shouldn't think a blackguard like you ever had a mother!
Basil sniffed disdainfully. Kilcony cackled and slapped his thigh.
Well now, aren't you the big comical rabbit? Let me tell you, my fine gentleman bucko, you won't be half so funny when the scourge is done with you. No, sir.
The prisoners slumped dejectedly upon the abbey grass, awaiting the break of dawn and the coming of Clooney the Scourge. Chapter 13. Warbeacon Logalog had to force Matthias to take a rest. The young mouse had set a scorching pace, marching through the night from the far borders of Mossflower Wood. The gorilla shrew had trouble keeping up. He was smaller than Matthias and did not have the advantage of flight like the sparrow. Always several yards behind, he panted for breath as he stumbled gamely on. Even Warbeak was beginning to feel the effects of prolonged low nighttime fluttering through the woodlands, around trees, over bushes. It was not the same as a clear, clean flight through the upper atmosphere. Only Matthias kept going at a dogged, headlong dash. He stopped for nothing. The heavy sword hanging from his shoulders by a length of cord thumped against him as he urged his legs forward. The breath rose ragged in his throat. His companions realized the urgency of the situation, but they saw that if Matthias continued to drive himself at this rate, he would soon collapse. The matter was solved when Matthias tripped upon a tree root and went sprawling flat. His two friends pinned him down and held on while they tried to talk sense to him. Finally convinced, Matthias sat among the ferns with his allies. It was not wasted time. They held a council of war.
"You carry on to Red Wall, Matthias," Logalog said. "I will wait here for my band. We'll force march most of the way, don't worry. The gorilla shrews won't be far behind you. We'll make good time in this cool night air."
The young mouse was assailed by gnawing doubts.
"That's all very well, but how are we going to scale the wall into the abbey grounds? If Cluny has captured Redwall, he's bound to have sentries posted upon the ramparts."
"What for Ratworm want sentry?"
Warbeak shrugged her wings.
"Him catch abbey, not know we come to catch back."
"Warbeak, you're right. But it still doesn't solve the problem of how we get in,"
Matthias replied. The young sparrow queen winked cheekily.
"Is easy. Me get sparrows to open little worm doors in wall. East, south, north. You see, they do good. Warbeak, go now. See friend Matthias Mouse at Redwall."
The sparrow queen shot off into the air like an arrow from a bow. Matthias arose to continue his journey. Logalog stayed behind and waited for his warriors to catch up. Beside the north wall gate, Plumpen stirred. He groaned and rolled over. There was a bad wound on the back of his head, but he was still very much alive. The first sight that greeted the Dormouse's hazy vision was three sparrows standing over him. They were Dunwing, Battlehawk, and Windplume. Silently, they slid Plumpen out of the open door into the woods. Dunwing gave orders to the two sparrow warriors.
"Take red rag and grease. Bring many sparrow. Fly quiet. Grease other little worm doors. Wait till Queen Warbeak come. No let ratworm see warriors. Go now."
Throughout the night hours, many sparrows worked secretly on the locks, bolts, and hinges of the small wall gates. Somewhere in Mossflower, Matthias was still pressing on to Redwall. Logalog and the regiment of gorilla shrews were hot on his trail. 1,000 sparrow warriors perched in the branches of trees all around the abbey, waiting. Chapter 14. The light of dawn began to appear in the sky. The sun's rays tinged the sandstone walls to a dull pink and clouded red. Dew was upon the late rose. Despite the blessing of a glorious summer day, the whole of Mossflower was doom-laden, with an awful tension that threatened to burst upon the captives seated on the grass. Horde captains came stamping out of the abbey. They prodded the prisoners with cutlass points and slapped out with flat blades at the helpless defenders.
"Come on, you lot! On your feet! Stand up straight, you mice! Step aside there! Make way for Cluny the Scourge!"
Reluctantly, the Red Wall contingent complied. They turned. All eyes were on the door of Great Hall. The silence was broken as the door slammed back upon its hinges. Clooney strode out. Behind him, bearing the Horde standard and a lighted torch, came Fangburn and Kilconey. The victorious Horde soldiers cheered wildly. Clooney was the picture of barbaric power, geared for war from his poison tail tip to the frightening battle helmet. He looked every inch the conqueror. Regally, he swept through the ranks of both sides, looking neither to right nor left. Mounting the dais which had been set up for his use, he swirled the sinister cloak about him and sat down in the abbot's chair. All that could be heard was the crackle of the torch and the unhappy whimper of one of the infant captives. He sat impassively, claws gripping the chair arms, visor lowered. Slowly lifting the visor, Clooney allowed his single eye to rove around. It came to rest on the Abbey leader.
"You, Abbot Mouse, come here?"
With two rats flanking him, the Father Abbot stepped forward in a slow, dignified manner. Even clad in his nightwear, he radiated calm and fortitude. Clooney sat back, sneering openly.
"Ha! So this is your leader. A little fat mouse in his nightshirt. What a fearsome warrior he looks. Well, what now, mouse? Are you going to go down on your knees and beg for your life, old one?"
Abbot Mortimer stared calmly into Clooney's savage eye.
"I will never bend my knee on my own behalf. However, if I thought I could save the life of one of my friends, I would gladly fall down on both knees. But I know you, Clooney, better than you know yourself. There is not a scrap of pity or mercy in your heart, only a burning desire for vengeance. Therefore, I will not kneel to one who is consumed by evil."
Clooney sprang to his feet, trembling with rage.
"Kneel to me, mouse! Kneel, or I will kill you!"
he stormed. Angry growls and the rending of grass from beneath the net on the ground heralded Constance's awakening. She began to heave and push. The net started to work loose. She called out to Clooney in a gruff, insulting voice.
"Hey, you! You scruffy, one-eyed vermin! Remove this net and face me alone! We'll see who ends up on their knees!"
At a signal from the warlord, a gang of rats leaped upon Constance and beat her back into unconsciousness with their weapons. They drove the securing stakes deeper around the net. Basil Stag Hare kicked out at them. When he had driven the rats off, he faced Clooney boldly.
"You, sir, are not fit to command any creature. You are a coward and an evil maniac. Even if my paws were not tied, I would think twice before soiling them upon the likes of you. Sha! You are beneath contempt, you rat!"
A stinging blow from a weasel's club sent Basil limping and tripping to the ground. The weasel struck him again and again upon the legs. He doubled up in pain as the Horde jeered and laughed. Clooney pointed at the hare.
"Remember your tricks on the common behind the church? Before this day is done, you'll never run and dodge again."
His eyes blazing with madness, Clooney flung his claws wide.
"All of you, defenders of Red Wall, listen to me. When I first came to the Abbey, I gave you a choice. Surrender or die. You chose to fight me. Me, Clooney the Scourge. I lost battles. I lost skirmishes. I lost soldiers. But I have won the war. You are the losers. Now you must pay with your lives."
As the warlord spoke, something seemed to snap deep within the abbot. He rushed forward and tried to grasp Clooney.
"No, no, you dare not harm these creatures," he cried. "It would be murder."
Cluny grabbed the Father Abbot and threw him to the ground. Lashing the frail figure with his poison-barbed tail, he shouted,
"Who are you to tell me what to do? There is only one law, my word. There is none to stop me, not badgers or hares or otters or mice. I will kill you all. Kill, kill, kill."
Suddenly, a thunderous voice was heard.
"Cluny, the Scourge, I have come to settle with you."
A gasp arose from the crowd. Cluny's tail fell from his grasp as both victors and vanquished turned towards the abbey whence the voice had issued. There, in the open doorway of Great Hall, stood the warrior mouse. It was as if he had stepped out of the tapestry upon the wall. On his arm was a burnished shield. At his waist was a sword belt of black leather and silver. From the scabbard at his side he drew forth a mighty sword. Cluny's voice shook as he addressed the nightmare visitor.
"Who are you?"
The warrior stepped forward into the daylight. Sun rays glinted diamond-like off his sword.
"I am that is."
Unable to take his eyes from the warrior, Cluny stumbled backwards. He cowered behind the abbot's chair, his mouth working convulsively.
"You are something out of my dreams. Go away. I'm not asleep."
The warrior mouse strode out into the crowd. He pointed his blade at the quivering warlord.
"I am, that is. Martin, Matthias, call me what you will. It was long ago written that you and I would meet, Rat."
"Seize him!"
Cluny screamed. Frogblood sprang forward, brandishing a spear. Before he could raise it, the ancient sword flashed in the warrior's grip and hewed him lifeless to the ground.
"I will slay any invader that moves," Matthias shouted. "Cluny, this is between you and me. Your army will not interfere."
Suddenly the Joseph bell began tolling. Sparrow warriors appeared in swarms that almost obscured the sky above the abbey. They landed in droves around the parapet edges. The grounds came to life with teeming swarms of gorilla shrews armed to the teeth with rapiers, cudgels, and slings. Matthias whirled the sword above his head as he roared out his battle cry.
"Redwall! Redwall! Strike for Redwall!"
The final conflict had begun. Shrews struck down the enemy guards as sparrow braves released the prisoners' bonds with short slashes of their sharp beaks. The freed defenders grabbed up anything that would serve as weapons. They hurled themselves upon the enemy, sparrows and shrews siding them against their larger adversaries. Rats, ferrets, weasels, and stoats fought with a ferocity born of desperation. Their very lives depended on the outcome. Cluny plucked the blazing torch from Kilconi's grasp. He flung it at the face of the oncoming warrior. Matthias deflected it with his shield in a cascade of sparks and went after the horde leader. To gain a brief respite, Cluny pushed Kilconi into Matthias. The ferret grappled vainly, but was cloven in two with one swift stroke. Matthias stepped over the slain ferret, whirling his sword expertly as he pursued Cluny. Ignoring his unprotected back, Matthias failed to see Fangburn stealing up behind him. The rat raised his cutlass in both claws, but before he could strike, Constance had hurled the net over him. Fangburn struggled like a landed fish as the big badger picked up the net and swung it several times against the gatehouse wall. Dropping the lifeless thing, Constance plunged with a terrifying roar into a pack of weasels. The thick tail of the warlord flicked out venomously at Matthias's face. He covered swiftly with his shield as the poisoned metal barb clanged harmlessly off it. Cluny tried again, this time whipping the tail speedily at the young mouse's unprotected legs. Matthias leaped nimbly to one side and swung the sword in a flashing arc. Cluny roared with pain as it severed the tip of his tail. The blooded stub lay on the grass with the barb still attached. Hurling the abbot's chair at his adversary, the rat seized an iron spike. Metal clashed on metal as the warrior mouse parried Cluny's thrusts. They battled across the green abbey lawns, right through the center of the maelstrom of warring creatures. Oblivious to the fighting around them, they sought to destroy each other, hacking, stabbing, lunging, and swinging in mortal combat. Meanwhile, teams of sparrow warriors were jointly lifting struggling rats and flying high to drop them into the middle of the abbey pond. Ferrets had cornered a band of shrews and were threatening to massacre them when a column of otters sprang to the rescue. Keeping heavy pebbles locked in their slings, they battered continuously at the ferrets. Besieged by fierce sparrows, rat sentries leaped in panic from the top of the ramparts. Those who stayed were dealt with by Jess Squirrel, who swung a heavy iron chain around like a deadly flail. Down below, Ambrose Spike was rolling about like a whirling ball of needles. Silent Sam acted as his eyes, propelling him into each fresh bunch of rats with a long stick. Matthias and Cluny continued battling savagely. Iron smashed upon steel as Cluny called up reserves from his vast strength and cunning to defeat his opponent. Twice he had hurled clawfuls of soil at Matthias's eyes, but each time the shield rose swiftly and deflected them. The warrior mouse hacked away stoically. He was beginning to feel his paws numbed by the jarring blows of the hefty iron railing against the sword blade. Cluny, too, felt the vibrations each time the sword clanged upon his weapon. The pain shot right through him, down to the tip of his injured tail. Along the ramparts they fought, blinded by sweat, panting and blowing, neither asking nor giving quarter. Down the stairs and across the grass once more, they slashed and struck at each other right up to the entrance of Great Hall. Cluny dodged behind the half-open abbey door and hit out at his attacker. Matthias's sword point lodged deep in the wood. Seizing his chance, the rat dodged nimbly into the open and battered madly at Matthias's upheld shield until he was forced to drop it. Cluny's iron spike drove cruelly into the mouse's unguarded paw. Matthias cried out, and instinctively kicked the shield upwards at his adversary. It struck Cluny squarely under the chin, the sharp metal edge causing a long slash. As the rat reeled away, clutching at his throat, Matthias freed the sword from the door. Ignoring their wounds, they immediately clashed again, going at it hammer and tongs. Cluny lashed out with his bleeding tail and tripped Matthias. As the warrior mouse lay upon the ground, the rat roared and stabbed downwards with the spiked railing. Matthias rolled to one side. The point sank deep into the earth. He struggled to his feet, striking out and scoring Cluny heavily down the side. But the long tail whipped out, lashing the warrior mouse several times across the face. Cluny staggered into the entrance to the bell tower, where Friar Hugo had been tolling the Joseph bell. At the sight of the rat warlord, he released the rope and scuttled underneath the stairs, where he hid, trembling. Matthias came thundering in. Cluny dodged around him and slammed the door, locking them in together. If only he could get the mouse at close quarters and stop him from using the sword, Cluny thought. Then he could win with his superior strength. They locked in combat again. Cluny barred the railing across the sword blade. Pushing with both claws, he drove Matthias backwards. Now he could see victory in sight. If only he could pin the warrior mouse against the wall, he would be able to throttle him with the edge of the railing. Clooney braced his feet and strained. He could feel the breath laboring raggedly within his chest. He must win. The voices had told him he would never again see the warrior after the sun set upon this day. The prophecy had to be fulfilled once and for all. Remorselessly, he used his greater strength to drive the young mouse backwards. They were only inches from the wall now. Matthias realized what Clooney was doing. He would be finished once he was pinned against the wall. There was only one thing to do. Matthias suddenly swerved aside and collapsed on his back. Kicking his legs out rigid, he sent Clooney crashing into the wall. Matthias leaped over Clooney and bounded up the spiral stairs into the darkness of the belfry. Clooney lay against the wall, panting heavily. He managed an evil, wheezing laugh.
"There's no way out up there, Mouse," he called. "I'm coming up after you. You're as good as dead now."
Matthias didn't reply. He sat exhausted up in the dark belfry with his legs dangling over the stout timber bell axle. Down below, Clooney squatted against the wall, glad of the chance to take a breather. Beneath the dusty stairs, Friar Hugo sneezed. Laughing triumphantly, Clooney seized the little fat friar by his tail and dragged him from his hiding place.
"Look, Mouse," he called. "See, I've got your little fat friend. Ha! I won't have to climb those stairs after all. Throw the sword down, or I'll spike him like a lollipop."
From his vantage point, Matthias looked down. Far below him on the floor, he could see Clooney holding the spike under Friar Hugo's chin. Clooney gave the point a light jab. Hugo gurgled unhappily.
"You see? All it takes is a little harder push and he's dead. Now, throw down your sword and get down here yourself, quick."
Matthias peered over the rim of the Joseph Bell.
"All right, Rat, you win. But how do I know you'll keep your word? First let the friar go, then I promise on my honor as a warrior that I'll come down."
Clooney grinned wickedly. There it was again, that stupid thing called honor, the code of the warrior. But it was not his code. He had won.
"Get out of my sight, you snivelling little wretch," he grated, thrusting Friar Hugo away from him.
The frightened mouse dived back underneath the stairs. Clooney stood in the center of the room, his one eye straining to catch sight of Matthias in the belfry. Blood dripped from the dozen wounds the mouse warrior had inflicted upon him during the course of their battle. But now he knew he had won. The voices had been right. He would soon see the last of the mouse warrior.
"Come on down, Mouse. Clooney the Scourge is waiting for you," he cried.
Matthias stood up on the wooden beam. With one mighty blow from the blade of the ancient battle-scarred sword, he severed the rope holding the Joseph Bell. It appeared to hang in space for a second. Then it dropped, like a massive stone. Clooney remained riveted to the spot, his eye staring upwards. Before he had time to think, it was too late. Clang! The Joseph Bell tolled its last huge knell. The colossal weight of metal smashed Clooney the Scourge flat upon the stone floor of the bell tower. Wearily, Matthias the warrior descended the spiral stairs, sword in hand. He led the sobbing little friar out of his hiding place. Together they stood and stared at the Joseph Bell where it lay, cracked clean through the center. From beneath it, there protruded a bloodied claw and a smashed tail. Matthias spoke.
I kept my promise to you, Cluny. I came down. Hush now, Friar Hugo. It's all over now. Wipe your eyes. Together the friends opened the door and walked out into the sunlight of a summer morning. Redwall had won the final battle. The bodies of both armies lay scattered thick upon the grass and stones where they had fallen. Many were sparrows, shrews, and woodland defenders, but they were far outnumbered by the slain rats, ferrets, weasels, and stoats. Nowhere was there one of Cluny's infamous horde left alive. Constance ambled up, her big flanks heaving, covered in wounds. She pointed to the bell tower and uttered a single word. "Cluny?" "Dead," Matthias replied. "Were all the horde slain? Did we take no prisoners at all?" The badger shrugged wearily. "A lot of them tried to escape. We didn't really stop them. They managed to unbar the main gate and ran out into the road. There were a big ginger cat and a white owl waiting for them. Hell's whiskers, I've never seen anything like it." Basil Stag Hare limped up and threw Matthias a wobbly salute.
"Squire Julian and Captain Snow, you can talk to them later on, young fella. Right now you're needed over in the cloisters. It's the abbot. Better hurry."
As fast as their tired limbs would allow them, Matthias, Constance, and Hugo went together. Abbot Mortimer lay in the cloister garden, surrounded by his mice and woodland friends. Everyone was there, from Queen Warbeak and Logalog, to Cornflower and Silent Sam, down to the humblest mouse. The poison barb on Cluny's tail had done its deadly work. The Father Abbot was dying. Respectfully, the ranks opened to allow Matthias and his companions through. Constance knelt to cradle her old friend's head, and Matthias gently clasped the wrinkled, careworn paw. The abbot smiled fondly at his young mouse.
"Matthias, my son, I see you have restored the sword of Martin to our abbey. Is your mission completed then?"
Matthias rested his forehead against his abbot's paw. "Yes, father. Cluny the Scourge is dead. I have done my task."
The abbot nodded slowly. "So have I, my son. So have I."
"Father Abbot, you must live,"
said Constance in a gruff, choking voice. The abbot's old face broke into a weak smile.
"My old friend, I am not like the seasons. I cannot go on forever. It has to finish sometime."
The tears rolled down Matthias's cheeks. He could not stop them. The abbot patted his paw kindly.
"Ah, Matthias, Matthias the brave one. Wipe away your tears, my son. Death is only part of life. Tell me, can you see the late rose?"
Matthias dried his eyes on the abbot's wide sleeve. "Yes, father. It is in full bloom now."
"And are all the little roses as red as blood?" said the abbot.
"They are, father," Matthias answered. The abbot sighed.
"It is as it was meant to be. Is Brother Alf nearby?"
Brother Alf knelt before the abbot.
"Ah, Brother Alf, my old and valued companion, when I am gone to my rest, you will take my place as abbot. You are a wise and compassionate mouse. I know you will look after my creatures for me."
Abbot Mortimer closed his eyes for a moment before carrying on with his final instructions.
"What a great pity that it took so much bloodshed to unite us all. Henceforth, the sparrows may come and go as they wish. They must share our food and use our abbey, not only the roof, but all of it. These good gorilla shrews also. No longer will they be as gypsies roaming the woods. They will have a proper home here at Redwall as long as they wish. And now, Matthias, my son, I must tell you my decision regarding you. It is my wish that you do not enter our order as a brother. A gasp of surprise arose from all those within hearing range. Matthias bowed his head. He was stunned by his father abbot's words. The abbot continued, "No, my son, your heart is far too brave. This abbey needs you, but not as a brother. Therefore, I name you Matthias, the warrior mouse of Redwall, champion of our order. From this day you will defend this abbey and all of its creatures from evil and wrong. Your sword shall be known far and wide as Rat Death. Now, Cornflower, where is little Cornflower?" The young field mouse came. She stood by the abbot, waiting upon his word. "There you are, dear Cornflower," the abbot smiled. "A warrior needs a good wife. You are the beauty that will grace Redwall and rule the heart of our Matthias. The old gatehouse will be extended into a proper home. It belongs to you both. Guard our threshold wisely and well." There were no words to express the feelings of Matthias and Cornflower. They could feel the joy and pride singing from their hearts. The abbot looked up at Constance. "And you, my oldest friend, do me one last service. Lift my head a little, and I will tell you what my failing eyes can see before I leave you." Obediently, the badger raised the abbot's head. "Ah, yes, I see the most beautiful summer morning of my life. The friends I know and love are all about me. Redwall, our home, is safe. The sun shines warmly upon us. Nature is ready to yield her bounty again in plenty this autumn. I have seen it all before, many times, and yet I never cease to wonder. Life is good, my friends. I leave it to you. Do not be sad, for mine is a peaceful rest." Thus did Mortimer, the father abbot of Redwall, die. Chapter 15. 1 year later. The following is an extract from the Annals of Redwall by John Churchmouse. It was he who took over as recorder from Methuselah. Here is part of his written record. It is the summer of the Talking Squirrel. Only yesterday, the young one known as Silent Sam was heard to speak. He was heard conversing with the son of Matthias and Cornflower. The young squirrel suddenly began to relate the saga of the late Rose Summer Wars to the baby mouse. I fear that we will not be able to stop him from talking, or his parents from laughing with delight. The son of our warrior is a strong, chubby little fellow. Everyone calls him Matimio because Matthias Methuselah Mortimer is too big a mouthful. But that was what his parents wished his name to be. Even now he tries long and often to lift the great sword Rat Death. I think one day he is sure to succeed his father as abbey champion. Our abbot, Mordalphus, no wonder he always preferred the name Alf, I mean Mordalphus, has declared that his first anniversary shall be marked by a huge feast. We are all invited. Constance has been pulling her cart around the woodland and meadows far and wide, bringing in guests. The gorilla shrews are out collecting honey from the bee folk. They have struck up a great friendship with the bees, even learning their language so that they can argue with them. The sparrow queen Warbeak has appointed herself deputy to Friar Hugo. She shows a great interest in the culinary arts, although I fear she will grow quite fat before too long.
Lady Cornflower is out in the meadows with Mrs. Churchmouse, my wife, and Dunwing, the Sparrow Queen mother. They are gathering flowers for the tables. All about me, the June sunshine is like liquid gold. Basil Staghare has gone off on a journey to bring his friends Captain Snow and Squire Julian Gingervere back to the Abbey with him. Basil is ignoring the fact that it is the Abbot's anniversary. He constantly refers to it as a regimental reunion dinner. Winifred the Otter and the Beaver, in company with that reprobate Ambrose Spike, are testing the quality of the October Nut Brown Ale. It must be particularly fine this year, judging from the sound of many rowdy ballads issuing from the wine cellars. Plumpen and his family of dormice are helping Formole and his crew dig a roasting pit. Early this morning, our Father Abbot went out fishing with Matthias the Warrior. They consider it no less than their bounden duty to bring back a larger fish than last year. The Joseph Bell, which was broken, has been recast into two smaller bells. I can hear them now. They are named Matthias and Methuselah. My twin church mice, Tim and Tess, are grown quite sturdy over the past year. They are our abbot bell ringers, and a splendid job they make of it too. The crops are growing well. The fruit trees and bushes in the orchard show much promise. The old gatehouse is now a beautiful, rambling cottage. The grass is green, the sky is blue, and the honey sweeter than ever before. I will finish my writing now and go to prepare myself for tonight's festivities, which will be held in their usual place at Cavern Hall in Redwall Abbey. Please be sure to visit us if ever you are passing. John Churchmouse, Recorder, formerly of St. Ninian's. Here ends the story.